The following program is intended as an educational program, not as investment advice or as a recommendation to buy, sell, or participate in any investment vehicle, product, offering, or strategy. Investment advisory services are offered through Turning Point Financial, a registered investment advisor. Any references to specific securities, investment vehicles, or strategies are intended only as examples, not as recommendations. All investments involve risk, including the possibility of losing money. What if your financial goals and your deepest convictions were perfectly in sync?
What if?
That's right. Well, welcome to Money and Mission, episode 108.
That's right.
Here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF, AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio. And you know, we're surrounded by so-called financial advice every day. But how much of that advice actually helps you become who God wants you to be? Well, today, we're going to bridge that gap between your bank account and your heart's calling.
That's right. And usually we try to break down some financial headlines with clarity and focus.
But this week
is going to be different. Well, because, you know, we've got this very special event coming up. But we will try to stump you.
We're still going to have our PA trivia.
That's right, our Pennsylvania trivia. Mm-hmm. And then again, we spend the rest of our time diving deep into principles and practical strategies that help you manage your wealth with a clear conscience and a kingdom focus.
That's right. So let's jump into our week in review this week. A little different, James. What do you have planned?
Well, this is a big, big event. I mean, we're coming up on the 4th of July.
That's right. The semi-quincentennial of our nation.
All right, hold on a second. Semi-quincentennial. Semi-quincentennial.
Yeah, 250 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that was a lot easier, Joe. 250 years as opposed
250.
To semi-quincentennial or whatever.
But at what point did me as producer lose control of this show?
That's right.
I think you're past that point. That's right. But there are seven syllables in that word.
That's
insane. Where did you come up with that word? It's derived from Latin, making a rare moment in history where a nation has sustained its founding governance and principles for 250 years.
That's right. It was at jeopardy. We had a civil war.
That's right.
But the republic stands.
The republic stands. That's mm-hmm. right. So we wanted to take a few minutes today and just reflect on the forces that shaped our 250-year history.
It's been a long road.
It has been
a long road. An interesting tale.
That's right. A lot of moving parts.
And the book's not done being written yet.
That's right. So... And we sing, you know, God bless America, and we pray, right, for God's continued blessing on our country. Mm-hmm. But let's go back all the way to the beginning. The American Revolution was probably as much of an economic struggle as for self-determination as it was a military one.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean... That's really a lot of what the story was. And then there was a war. Yeah.
And the war kind of grew out of the fact that they weren't able to really resolve that issue through negotiation and conversation.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they weren't happy about various issues, you know, representation, mm-hmm. being able to move west, mm-hmm. you know, and also back then, there, you know, the government had a lot of control over the economy,
right,
and regulation, and it wasn't free. It wasn't the America we know of today.
Today, that's right. No Federal Reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that will not get sidetracked there.
But I think it takes subjugation like that and control like that mm-hmm. in order to break free and fight for that freedom.
That's right.
And to value it.
That's right.
So highly.
Yeah. So the economics really, I mean, we talk about this all the time, money and mission,
yep.
right?
You know, no different.
No different. It's right there. And those principles, they shape nations, mm-hmm. right? And our nation was birthed in that kind of economic struggle. But the principles, I mean, life principles and how we go about
life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness.
That's right. I mean, that is all wrapped up in a nation's identity and the way people live together. So it was the birth of our country. It was a very high stakes bet.
Oh, the war?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
The Revolutionary War.
I mean, we were a young, not even a country, fighting the most powerful navy and army, mm-hmm. and didn't have any money.
And didn't have any money. So right out of the gate, the nation was indebted, right? There was yep. a deficit spending before the nation was even formed.
Got to pay for a war somehow.
That's right. So I think, if I recall historic facts correctly, that the total debt incurred by the Continental Congress and the states amounted to over $75 million by 1783. That was a staggering amount. I mean, I didn't do the inflation adjusted thing, but that would be huge.
Mm-hmm.
That was a big, big number. Well, then there was, again, it was transitioning from British mercantilism or government control to a more independent economy. And that's what enabled the rise of core American values, including things like innovation, entrepreneurship, and property ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, was now...
The American dream.
The American dream.
Right.
That's right. Was expressed completely differently in that new system. In 1776, the average American colonist was literate, which...
Oh, yeah. Allowed, very literate.
That's right.
They spent hours a day working on their handwriting, penmanship, mm-hmm. literature.
Right.
It was very common back then.
Right. And so the idea of economic liberty and the philosophy of the Declaration of Independence, it was able to spread rapidly, right?
Yes.
Because literacy was a thing.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So we take that so for granted.
We do. And now we have this device right here that'll give us any answer we want. So
that's
we don't
right.
even need to remember facts.
That's right. We don't have to remember how to write.
I was about to say, most folks, kids don't even know how to write cursive.
That's right.
And when they look at it, it looks like a different language to them.
That's right. So we've come a long way.
A very long way.
Like things have changed a lot. From a biblical perspective, economic freedom creates the necessary environment for faithful stewardship and mirroring the expectation to multiply the talents that are entrusted to us. And, you know, the guest we have on the show today, mm-hmm. Joel Giovannetti, is going to be talking about that very thing in a very practical way.
That's right. In 2026.
That's right. Well, 250 years then.
It's been a long road.
That's right.
Right?
The financial journey, I think our nation's financial journey serves as a lesson in the necessity of sound money.
Very necessary.
And, that's right. I mean,
we were warned from the beginning.
That's right. Warned by inflation. Right, mm-hmm. of the original continental currency. But I'll tell you what, we really destroyed the value of that currency.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
We really have.
Yeah.
Off the gold standard, mm-hmm. just printing money.
That's right. Well, yes, I mean, we could spend an enormous amount of time talking about that, but let's hit some of the bullet points.
I would say one of the big ones, though, since we're getting down to the end here, is what about the railroad?
The railroad.
What did that do for our country?
That was a paradigm shift. That was, I mean, the next biggest paradigm shift was then the internal combustion engine,
mm-hmm.
and then the internet,
mm-hmm.
right? Different ways completely, I mean, transformed the way the world worked, going from pulling horses and wagons back across to putting everything
goods,
on
goods, people, ideas.
Rail cars. And those trains, I mean, they're not the same trains that were going, but the concept is still the same, that our nation is tied together economically by all of these rail cars.
Mm-hmm.
And today, rail car activity is somewhat synonymous with GDP and economic activity.
Yeah, we always bring up that index.
That's right. Yeah. But there is a thing called a freight rail index.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, the New York Stock Exchange was formed in 1792. It's an agreement that was called the Buttonwood Agreement.
You know why?
Why?
Because they signed it underneath a buttonwood tree in New York City, really? On Wall Street.
I didn't know that.
It looks a lot different than the concrete jungle that it is today, but
there was a buttonwood.
And they signed that agreement under it.
Yeah. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But I think, you know, the New York Stock Exchange demonstrates the power of markets to connect capital savings, right, with opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so powerful, right?
Those looking for opportunity,
that's right,
to grow their money, and those in need of that capital,
and those in, and
to, who are running those operations.
That's right. Yeah. To bring that together is and have it last, have that proposition last for hundreds of years.
Made a lot of people rich.
That's right. and it created an enormous amount of wealth, which is, I think, a hallmark. I mean, it's something that has happened uniquely here in the American economy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much to be thankful for.
Well, what about the next 250 years? What do you think that's going to look like for us? As we look back the last 250, what do you think's on the horizon for us?
Yeah. Well, I think one challenge is for our country and our society to transition from a culture of consumption to one of building and saving and investing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, consuming is the easy part. And anybody can consume.
Right.
Right? Go home and eat dinner.
But that's not providing value to the world.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. To actually build things of value and solve real problems. It's a big, big, and I think we need to transition.
And we used to be builders.
We used to be.
We used to have strong manufacturing.
That's right. That's right. So I think that's a big challenge. And money, really, as we talk about all the time here on the podcast, money is a tool that can be used. It is a test of people's character, a nation's character, and an economy's character. And it's a testimony.
Absolutely. It says a lot about somebody.
That's right. Of the values that those people are expressing. So so to really live that out over the next 250 years, I think, is a big, big challenge.
So happy semi-quincentennial, everyone out there.
4th of July.
Yeah, or we can say that.
That's right.
Yeah, the 4th of July are 250 years of our nation's existence. That's a lot easier.
A lot easier.
That's but right. Either way, it's still a blessing.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.
Welcome back to Money in Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we're so excited today to have back with us Joel Giovannetti. Say hi, Joel.
Thanks, James. Thanks, Eric. It's wonderful to be here. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're with New Hope Ministries.
I am the wonderful organization of New Hope. Yes,
right,
sir.
That's right.
And I wasn't here the last time.
You were not.
Nope.
I mean, you were like running around the world.
I was somewhere, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, we tried to do that again this time, but no, he popped up and wouldn't.
You're not that
away.
Lucky.
You're not that lucky.
Definitely
that's right.
Not.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to hear about New Hope. So thanks for being here, Joel.
Yeah, of course. Right. Thank you. So,
well, you know, I think if there is only one thing that, you know, you take away as a listener from our conversation this week, and I think next week too, we hope you'll remember that business owners have an incredible opportunity to transform their communities by integrating faith into their business practices. Of course, I got to say that, right? Business owners have an incredible opportunity to transform their communities by integrating faith into their business practices.
That's so true.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. And we were just talking here as we were getting ready to start our session today that we pray and pray all the time. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. And, you know, when I do that, I kind of stop there, right? And everybody's like, James, don't stop. And but the reason I stop there is because, you know, we say the prayer, but we often miss the fact that on earth as it is in heaven, like, what does that mean?
That's perfection, right?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, that's close to it.
That's right. But that happens when we're in business. And for business owners, it happens when we write our business plan. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is on earth, just like it is in heaven. When we open our checkbooks, when we create our investment portfolios, when we create our estate plans, when we pay our taxes, there are so many different ways that God's kingdom can come on earth, just like it is in heaven. And we're going to be talking with you, Joel,
yeah,
about some really, really specific ways, some really exciting things.
Absolutely.
That where that happens in real life. One of the best kept secrets, right?
And I'm sure you see a lot of it.
We do, yeah. You know, I just love that phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. You know, there's such a need that we have here on earth. Yeah.
Right, yeah. Well, it's been about a year almost since we chatted with you. And before we dive in, really just maybe bring us current again. How did you get connected with New Hope Ministries? And I mean, was this part of like a career plan?
Is that what you wanted to do when you grew up?
You know, it was part of God's wonderful, wonderful plan.
Right.
I won't go all into the details, but I myself was a child that grew up in poverty. Mm-hmm. And my family had really struggled a lot and had a unique opportunity to come back in 1994 to Central PA to attend Messiah College. Mm-hmm. And it was there that I heard about New Hope Ministries.
Right.
Helping people in need, started volunteering, and eventually was able to get a job at New Hope.
Right. Now, that was in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right. But New Hope Ministries actually got started...
Yeah, 1982.
82.
Wow.
82.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
A couple years longer than I've been alive.
Yeah.
I was born in 85.
So, yeah, a couple years ago, we just celebrated our 40th anniversary. And
that's
just
awesome.
Local churches getting together, seeing mm-hmm. a need in right. their community,
right.
and starting New Hope Ministries.
Right. And so they see a need in their community. Just talk about what that
yeah.
need looks like.
Yeah, you know, there was a need back then in 1982, and there's a need, you know, obviously here in 2026. And, mm-hmm. You know, just seeing the progression from helping about 20 families back in 1982 that needed food, needed support.
So it literally was 20 families.
20 families, mm-hmm. yeah, in Dillsburg.
In Dillsburg.
The origin story.
That like we were that. Able to help, and here we are, 2026, and, you know, with our numbers last fiscal year, over 30,000 people that we were able to
wow.
bless
wow.
and support.
So amazing. From 20 families impacted to 30,000 people in the year.
In our last fiscal year,
in
yes,
the
sir.
Fiscal year.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Right here in central Pennsylvania.
Yeah, right here.
So geographically, like
yeah.
New Hope, mm-hmm. I mean, there was just one spot in Dillsburg.
Right.
And
right.
and like, where all is New Hope Ministries?
Yeah, so
today?
In 1982, it was the Dillsburg borough right there. And now we're in four counties. So we're Perry, we're York County, Cumberland County, and... yeah, just being able to, you know, help so many people just mm-hmm. in our
right.
our local community
right.
that are in need.
Yeah. So you help, right? I mean, again, let's kind of put arms and legs on that.
Yeah.
And what does help mean, right? When it looks, I mean.
Sure, sure. Yeah, yeah, well, I mean, New Hope Ministries are our mission statement. We're a Christian social service agency that helps people meet basic needs
mm-hmm.
and supports their efforts towards stability. So
right.
the basic needs of food mm-hmm. and shelter, we were able to provide people with that support. And then beyond that, we want people to get to a point where they're able to be self-sufficient, to be
mm-hmm.
able to take care of themselves,
and that's
to have...
important.
Yeah, very much so, Eric.
And really affordable. Like a stable like home base.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can have the food, you can have the shelter, but if no one has a home base, it's really hard to grow out of their situation.
Yeah, yeah. Very to have the local community really support them. And we know there's people that we help that are they're working, right? So some people say, mm-hmm. Just tell them to go find a job. Well, yeah. They're in jobs that they're only able to make a certain amount of money. Mm-hmm. So we have tracks where we can get them involved in nursing. We get them involved as regional sales, working sales.
Higher skilled positions.
Yeah, we've had opportunities, truck drivers working at HVAC, plumbing, mechanics, where they can actually be involved in a career, not just have a job.
And a lot of these blue-collar jobs are making a resurgence in terms of their level of pay, the benefits. Yeah.
So true. We're always going to need mechanics and builders. And absolutely. So those jobs are in high demand. And so we're able to nursing as well, too, get people involved in those careers that then they're no longer dependent on New Hope for food and resources. They're able to provide for themselves, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah. I'm sorry. When you said we always need mechanics, my brain just kind of said, you know, we have self-driving cars on the way.
It's going to be a robot fixing a robot. Right?
How about a car that fixes itself? Right? Yeah, right. The self-fixing car, right? Yep. A self-driving car, yeah, self-fixing car. That's probably not. Anyway, I digress, right? So it really is, as you said, it's all about, you know, efforts towards stability, right? Because just like helping with one of those, like food assistance or maybe rent assistance or something, that
helps now, right? Short term.
Yeah, but it's almost like the game of whack-a-mole, right? Where, boom, you hit that one, and then, oops, the next froggy pops up.
Sure. Yeah, you know, I shared earlier briefly about myself being a child in poverty and knew what it was like when we didn't have a lot of food. And it was from a home where it was my mom wasn't working. She was, you know, we were at home with her, my two younger brothers. My father worked as a self-employed painter, but then when he got hurt when I was in eighth grade, he couldn't work. And so we had no income. And then my mom ended up getting three jobs as a waitress. And still, it wasn't, you know, making enough money to help my family. It wasn't until years later where she got a job and a career as a teacher.
Right.
So yeah, there's a lot of needs that are out there with affordable housing, having a reliable vehicle, rent assistance, food. So yeah, there are a lot of needs people have nowadays.
But as you're working with people, then it's really encouraging, like to care for people. You're encouraging and helping to teach personal responsibility. Yep. And transformation, so that it's not just, you know, putting a Band-Aid.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I appreciate you sharing that. I mean, we have our mission statement, our vision statement is every life transformed. So we want to see that transformation where they're able to ultimately provide for themselves, take care of their family. We're able to do that and giving people dignity and compassion and building relationships, getting to know them.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. And transformation, it just doesn't happen overnight.
True.
It takes a plan. But, you know, what I think is so exciting about transformation is when you see something, like even like an old building that was transformed, a couple years later, somebody goes driving by that old building and they're like, wow, what happened there?
Or an old muscle car, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's right, because you drive. You had some transformation that needed to happen there, right?
She needed some love.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Well, what a good way to open up this segment. Looking forward to hear more about this. We're about all out of time in this segment. It's time for us to switch gears.
It's time for PA Trivia.
Well, it's time for my favorite part of the show.
I forget.
The weekly trivia.
Ta-da!
Ta-da! Weekly trivia. Pennsylvania weekly trivia.
Very focused.
Yeah, that's right. Last week, the question was, adopted in 1933, Pennsylvania's official state flower is a low-growing evergreen shrub that produces beautiful pink or white blossoms in the spring. What is the name of this flower?
Do you know, Joe?
I think so.
What do you think?
Mountain laurel.
That's right.
It is. That's right.
Ding, 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 ding. What does he win, Johnny?
What does he win? Well, we didn't think about that.
Nope. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
All right. So, folks, this week's PA trivia is Pennsylvania's state dog.
Which I didn't even know existed.
Well, it does. It was designated in 1965, was a favorite of many early American leaders. What is the name of this breed? Pennsylvania's state dog, designated in 1965. If you know, what is the name of this breed?
Well, if you think you know the answers, send your answers to radiopuzzle@wealthdevelopmentcouncil.com. And we will read the correct answer on the podcast next week.
We always do.
We always do. That's exactly right.
Well, we got to take a quick break. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720, where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
And I am Eric Terrio.
And we are visiting with Joel Giovannetti from New Hope Ministries. And what an exciting ministry that you guys are involved with.
Yeah, thanks, James. You know, I mentioned earlier about getting connected with New Hope back in 94. So I'll just briefly share. I started working at New Hope 2002. So we are 2026. So 24 years have worked at New Hope, started in the youth program department, just helping to break the cycle of poverty with youth. And now I work in fundraising as a gift officer.
Right. That's long enough to know something.
And see just a transformation of so many people, like I mentioned, kids, right, that had been a part of New Hope's youth program that are now adults and are working in successful jobs and involved in their community, supporting and helping and being productive. So it's been a blessing.
So you have case examples over time to see the trajectory of the lives that New Hope can do for folks.
Sure, yeah, hundreds if not thousands of individuals.
And really, you know, over that, I mean, with New Hope's 40 years or so and you're 24, not just the trajectory of lives, but generations.
Yes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes,
absolutely.
The next coming of them, the children. Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, communities are made up of people. And when you change the trajectory of a family over generations, you are transforming that community.
When, and I can share stories of just when kids have seen their parents get involved in a career or be involved in budgeting and doing better for themselves. It speaks volumes to those kids and plants that seed that, okay, my mom, my dad, my family's working hard, and that it just helps for that child to break that cycle of poverty.
More is caught than taught for children, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And when they see parents doing that, it really makes a difference.
And this is really in very practical terms, very practical terms. When New Hope Ministries has as a vision statement, every life transformed. I mean, that's so powerful. It's so powerful. And what we're talking about here is how that happens in real life. In practical terms.
You know, it is practical when someone comes into New Hope. First off, sometimes people are thinking when they come in for help, how am I going to be treated, right? They're, they're thinking, I don't want to feel less than other people. And New Hope has always done to this day valued people and, mm-hmm. and has shared people. Just because you're coming into New Hope doesn't mean you are less than someone else. We are here right. to bless you, to support you, to walk with you mm-hmm. on that journey to give them dignity and respect.
Right.
You know, years ago, we actually, because of that, changed the terminology. We used to refer to people that came into New Hope as clients, mm-hmm. and we changed the terminology to say anybody that comes to New Hope is a guest. Mm-hmm. So we refer mm-hmm. them now as guests, that mm-hmm. they're there to be a guest. And
you got
to
treat them well.
Treat them well, care for them, walk with them on that journey to the point where they're going to be financially secure to be able to take care of themselves.
That's right. Yeah. So it's you know, it's one thing to have compassion, right? mm-hmm. It's part and parcel. I mean, it ties together.
Sure.
To have to recognize dignity, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. which is a significant part of the church's teaching,
yeah.
human yeah, beings have dignity, right? Created in God's image, and just because people are in different...
And they might be down and out now, but
social,
with the right resources, they could lead the flock mm-hmm, in the future.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Socioeconomic practices, it makes no difference. You as a person,
yeah,
there is basic dignity because you've been created, mm-hmm. right, by God in His image. So there's... So you're looking then, I mean, you bring that to light in mm-hmm. by working with a whole person.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Yeah, you know, and it's we're not there, and we don't judge people, right? Mm-hmm. People have had difficult things happen to them.
There's enough of that in the world.
Right, yeah. Right. As a child, maybe some mistakes they've made in their past. But when they come into New Hope, we're there to help restore them and work with them. And you know, it's so true, James, that we are all created in the image of God. And years ago when we came up with that vision statement that every life transformed, and mm-hmm. we say every life, that is the guests that we work with. That's our volunteers. I mean, talk about transformation. There have been so many volunteers that when they help and support New Hope and they're given of their time and they see a mother with 3-4 children just trying to, you know, survive, it develops that compassion, mm-hmm. you know, in them. So their lives are transformed.
That's
our
right.
donors' lives are transformed when they're able to give of resources that God's given them to help other people. Of course, as staff, our lives are transformed. So
right.
when we say every life transformed, it's not just the guests. Of course, that's why we're there to help them, but it's all of us that we're transformed.
That's right. Well, you know, I want to, we want to pick up on that, Joel, but since you mentioned volunteers and you know, donors, New Hope Ministries has a website.
We do.
Yes?
We do. Yeah, it's nhm-pa.net.
Okay. NHM, like New Hope Ministries.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. Hey. And then -PA, like PA. I'm sorry, it's .org or email is .net. So it's nhm-pa.org.
Yeah.
He catches on quick, doesn't he?
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we try, right? You know.
Yeah.
But you know, as we go along through our conversation here, we will be talking about some really practical ways
sure.
that, you know, if you own a business or you know somebody that owns a business, that you'd be able to really come alongside and be supporting New Hope Ministries. But you mentioned volunteers,
yeah,
right? I mean, where do these volunteers come from?
Yeah, you know, here in Central PA, just wonderful churches that we have. That's where most of our volunteers will come from, and, mm-hmm. and the volunteers have such a great experience helping out in our warehouse, our food pantry, our mm-hmm. youth programs, helping enter information into our database and our development department. That they have such a great experience, they share with others, and you know, as much as we do a great job of recruiting volunteers, it's actually the current volunteers themselves that mm-hmm. do the recruiting for us and encourage other people, family members, people
they
know.
It's the best marketing, word of mouth.
Word of mouth through their own experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But you know, again, I just want to kind of circle back to mm-hmm. the comment that I opened with here in our prior segment. I mean, how many times do you really think I'm sitting here doing data entry on a keyboard, and that is God's kingdom coming to earth just like it is in heaven. I mean,
very much so. We need those people, please.
Yes. I mean, somehow we're, you know, we say we pray our prayers and, you know, we're sitting in church and it, I mean, it's all very, you know, theological and everything else. And we somehow don't equate that to like doing data entry.
Yeah.
Or even like Joe, like here, right? What you're doing at Holy Family Radio and, you know, recording. I mean, somehow, is that really what the Bible was talking about?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Be the best you that you can be.
Yeah. Right. Every gift.
Pay it forward. Mm-hmm. Pay it forward.
Yeah. Talent, skill. We need those people that.
Some people got money. Some people got the time. Some people got the skill sets.
Yeah. Some people have both.
Yeah. Or all three.
Or all three, right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. But this is what it means to align, you know, biblical teaching with real life. Money in mission. This is the rubber hits the road, boots hit the ground, and you have a direct connection now suddenly between Christian theology and community development.
And I just, you know, I'd piggyback on that and say whatever you're passionate about, you enjoy doing, you know, most likely we will have an opportunity at New Hope for you to be able to use your skill, your talent, your passion of what you enjoy doing to help others.
That's right, yeah. And so at the end of the day, then, you know, when New Hope Ministries measures success, right, it's not just about like a certain number of meals delivered. It could be how much data got entered.
It's all part of it.
It's all part of it.
All those volunteers coming together to help him do his job.
And if you're not sure what to do, you're not sure how to help, it's like at my church, the pastor says, if you're not sure how to help, come ask me. I'll be able to find you something. There's always stuff.
And on that note, we actually years ago were able to create a job position at New Hope. We have a volunteer coordinator.
Okay.
So
when
someone is interested or, you know, hey, what this is my skill or how can I help? Mm-hmm. Well, we have our wonderful volunteer coordinator, Bev James. She's on our website, her contact information, where she will plug people in to where they want to serve and help at.
Right. Yeah. That's awesome. And so it's really people helping people in the context. And now refresh my memory. Yep. You were naming the counties, right?
Cumberland, York, Perry. And what's the last one?
Cumberland, York, Perry, and we're the counties around here. Adams County. Gettysburg area. So I help a lot of people in Adams County as well too.
So how many locations?
Yeah, so 10. So last year when we met, we actually had 9. So our 10th location is in the Spring Grove community, which we just started.
I just moved there last year.
No way. Yep. How about that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're now helping people there in Spring Grove Borough. So that's our 10th center. So 10 locations in those counties.
Yeah. But then how many, I mean, we said 30,000. How many churches? Because it may be like 10 locations that New Hope is doing, but then you've got all these churches out there.
Spider webs out.
It's across those, four counties, 10 locations. I mean, there are numerous zip codes, municipalities. I mean, it is a lot of churches. I mean, I think of it could be close to 1,000, you know, churches of all different sizes. Could be, you know, some mega churches or some churches that have, you know, 10 people, and sometimes it's those, you know, small churches, but mighty churches that, you know, really, really support New Hope. Yeah.
So it doesn't matter the size of the church, it matters.
Mission driven.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. Great. And we didn't even write that down.
No, I'm going to use that again.
Mission driven. That's exactly right.
Yep. No, good stuff so far, but we're about all out of time in this segment. So we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720.
Welcome back to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio, WHYF AM 720. Where each week we talk about wealth management built on a foundation of biblical wisdom and principles. I'm James Good.
I am Eric Terrio.
and we're visiting with Joel Giovannetti.
He's visiting with us.
He's visiting with us. Well, I mean, it's kind of a...
We're all visiting each other and socializing.
That's right. We're talking. That's right.
We're palling around.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. You guys are getting me off track already here, right?
So easy.
Yeah. But it's been... I mean, we're so enjoying this. I can tell, you know, we're going to have to make this... We're going to have to push this into next week as well. I can feel that right now. And
Joe's like, what?
That's right. But, you know, for our listeners,
make this a two-part episode.
That's right. We'll make this a two-part episode. So make sure you tune in next week as well here on Holy Family Radio and pick up the part two of the conversation. But you know, for today, we've been talking about New Hope's vision, right? Mm-hmm. And we've been talking about your presence and where you're located. And most people know New Hope Ministries for food assistance,
right?
And emergency support.
Sure.
I mean, that's that. But meeting basic needs is such a critical starting point, right?
Yeah.
And I have to confess, when you and I first talked like several years ago, a number of years ago now, and we were talking about the Neighborhood Assistance Program and which we'll talk more about next week. I was thinking to myself, I mean, Joel, you're talking about like poverty.
Yeah.
Here in like Cumberland County.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like
2026.
2026.
Right.
And really?
Yeah. And there, it opens our eyes when we can look around. And, you know, it's not just right in the boroughs. We have places like Enola or Mechanicsburg, and there's low income apartments. I mean, studies show that one in five children in our local schools are hungry. That's 20%. You know, so if we open our eyes and just, you know, get in our car and drive around, we see wealth, but we also see people in need, low-income housing, trailer parks. There's a lot of people that are
so
struggling.
Easy to look past that and be like, oh, look at the big house.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I mean, we've talked here about the K-shaped economy.
Yes. It's very true, real for folks.
Very real. We'll kind of bring that topic up again. K-shaped.
Rich get richer, the poor get poorer.
That's right. The upper part of the K is... the folks who are, they have, right?
They have money in a 401k, they're invested.
Right. Inflation inflates the value of their assets.
And they now have they real have, estate.
And now they have more, right? Because inflation. And then the lower part of the K.
It's going down.
It's going down. And inflation.
Groceries. Energy costs, rent.
That's right. Makes it harder and harder. And it's like that silent, really hard to put your finger on killer that just crushes, you know, folks and expands that.
Right.
Where someone maybe who used to be like solidly middle class, the pressure just keeps building and building from all different sides. And now all of a sudden they're not even middle class. I mean, now they are lower part of the K, right? And now struggling in a very real sense. So, I mean, that's what we're talking about here.
And
that kind of economic struggle right here in central Pennsylvania. So you mentioned, you know, kids going to school hungry. I mean, I can't really relate to that, but talk about what that means.
Yeah, you know, one of the amazing programs New Hope has is our backpack food program, because we know from the partnership with the schools that there's many kids that are part of the free breakfast lunch program because their families aren't making enough money. And so we've been able to partner with schools to provide meals for the weekend. Now, kids are getting breakfast or getting lunch, but a lot of times we don't know those kids that are part of that program if they're getting any food, healthy food, on the weekend. So we have food at New Hope. We have our food pantries. And so there's a partnership with the schools to get those kids and those families food, But also, the schools let the families know, hey, there's a New Hope Ministries near our school that you can go to, mm-hmm. and they're going to support you, and they're going to help you. And we've had many of those parents come to New Hope, and we've been able to help them with affordable rent, finding a career, helping them with resources. So they've actually been able to get off of the food program at school because they're able to provide for themselves. Mm.
So are you guys... I mean, do you guys like teach classes?
We do, yeah. We have budget classes. So anytime someone or guests, right, when they're receiving food from New Hope, they're a part of the different programs that we have at New Hope, which include budgeting. Dollars and cents classes is what we call them, where
they don't teach that in school.
They don't. And so we've actually had our staff, you know, sit in on those classes, and it's just been very, very helpful for people to be able to budget their resources.
Yeah. But it's one thing to learn, right? And,
right?
And we talk about education and financial literacy. And
yeah.
That's right. But if you are hungry,
yeah.
because you didn't have any breakfast this morning.
Right.
About as real as it gets.
Yeah. I mean, how do you focus on like financial literacy?
Yeah.
Or anything, education, social studies.
Right.
Or tomorrow, yeah. or the future, yep. or, yeah. you know, next year.
I mean, when I was in school, I couldn't focus on algebra anyway.
Yeah.
I was more calculus. I mean,
and I wasn't hungry. I was
I wasn't hungry. Yep. That's right. Yep. So if you're hungry,
I mean, it's a major need. You know, it's interesting, James, on that, you know, topic, how many nurses we talk to at New Hope that say kids that come to the nurse's office because they're exhausted, they're tired. It comes down to they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
And so being able to identify those children, those families, to be able to provide food for, so that way those kids then can do, you know, well in school because they'll have a full belly.
And right. try to do it without stigmatizing it, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
Shame,
yeah.
embarrassment.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. And just, you know, because again, if that is your life, it significantly impacts how you view the world, how you mm-hmm. grow up in the world,
yeah.
and frankly, I think it probably even you view God through a certain lens mm-hmm. if you are always hungry or like facing eviction.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, the pressure that comes if you're facing eviction.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's,
we've had, I'm thinking whether it's nurses, principals, teachers, counselors, that they have the relationship with the student, obviously, and the families. A lot of times after school's over, they brought those families to New Hope to show the families all these resources that mm-hmm. Those families can have at New Hope. And I was one of those kids. As a child that grew up in poverty, there were times that, you know, I felt that stigma as a kid and was hungry and was at even times angry at God. And it was, you know, the first time in my life when I had people from my church, a small Methodist church, that provided meals, provided resources, that I started to develop that self-esteem and feel better about myself and seeing that it was actually God providing to me and my family. So I saw neighbors helping neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a New Hope Ministries in Southern Virginia where I grew up. So that's part of why I think I got connected with New Hope, because I saw as a child neighbors helping neighbors in need.
Right.
And that's what we do at New Hope, and why my whole job, vocation, everything that I do is because even my upbringing and seeing, you know, my family being supported.
Yeah, yeah. And that's really, I mean, again, it's a real-life example of how a simple food pantry mm-hmm. can lead to transformation.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And that's the draw, right? The basic, people are hungry.
Yes.
And we have food. People come to New Hope, they will receive food. And to a T, daily, weekly, we have people say, oh, I thought I was just coming to New Hope to receive food, but oh my gosh, you're going to help me with rent assistance. You're going to help me find a job. A big cost now we know is childcare. We actually will find wonderful childcare facilities. So if a parent is working, we will pay for that child to be involved in childcare or at a nursery, because that's a huge cost for families as well, too.
And it's like the food is just one of the puzzle pieces.
Yes.
Right? You've got all those others that need to be managed.
That's what brings people into New Hope is the food.
And right.
They receive so much more than just
come for the food, stay food. For the stability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the transformation. Do you ever find that people that have been guests of New Hope that they sort of circle back around and start helping other people as well?
So we've had, your question, if I understand it, of people that have been supported by New Hope when they get to the point of being stable or even they're on that path, they then sometimes have volunteered.
Right.
Or we have had, sometimes they've made, we've had kids bring in pennies, nickels, dimes as donations they've collected from kids in their classroom. And they themselves are recipients of New Hope's help, and they then are helping other people, even in the midst of their own, you know, what they're going through. So yes, that does happen a lot.
I mean, so I don't know where to tie that to, like a Bible verse, but it's multiplication.
Sure, there's some good ones, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's multiplication going on there, right? Where one person is transformed, or that person's family is transformed, and then they suddenly are passing it along, and this incredible chain reaction or ripple effect, however you want to describe it, right? That then transforms again with a community.
That's really
what we're looking at.
Yeah, and I think it's the word I think of is empathy, right? Earlier we talked about compassion, and with that comes sympathy. But when someone can really empathize, right? So a guest that has received New Hope services that knows what it's like to be hungry, when they can empathize with somebody else, it truly makes a difference.
So it's I mean, again, I will just maybe take us out with the thought that we think about things like evangelizing, right, and bringing people to the faith and encouraging their faith, and this is just such a practical way of doing exactly that, right? Human flourishing and getting engaged with people to really restore dignity puts them in a position where they can be open to hearing the gospel, right? And all that goes with that.
And I'm loving the conversation so far, but I feel like we're just scratching the surface.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And I hope all you listeners have been enjoying it too. And don't forget to tune in next week when we finish our conversation with Joel from New Hope Ministries. You're listening to Money and Mission here on Holy Family Radio.